May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Start, close, in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you do not want to take. Start, close, in. That is the beginning of a poem by David White, a poem I'm very fond of, one that I remember reading on the eve of my ordination to the priesthood about 5 years ago. A friend had sent it to me in commemoration of the occasion, and it still hangs on my fridge, one of the few immovable things on there, among outdated Christmas cards and pictures of my niece and nephews. Start with the ground you know, the poem continues, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. Start, close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you do not want to take. I can't help but wonder what it was like for Isaiah to take his first step on the eve of his ordination to the prophetic office. I can't help but wonder if it was a step he did not want to take. Now, I don't know too many people who have found their calling amidst visions of earthquakes, six-winged seraphs, and the majestic hem of God's outfit. Today's passage from Isaiah reads like a Met Gala from on high, and most people I know, in fact, would probably write such a vision off as a strange dream. Some people might even seek psychiatric help. And yet, as singular as this event was, as novel and grand as Isaiah's visions were, these events took place in a larger context. No man or woman, no person is an island. And for Isaiah, this call took place among the people called Israel. It took place within their long history of struggle, thousands of years ago. Isaiah's call arises out of an experience of grief, a sense of foreboding. In the year that King Uzziah died, the text reads, talk about an introduction. War raged outside the holy city's walls. The Assyrian Empire threatened Jerusalem's existence from without as well as that of their neighbors. The people do not know who to trust. Their king has just died. And Isaiah begins his prophetic ministry in the thick of conflict, called to speak on behalf of a God to a people whose fears have often gotten the best of them. In the middle of wars and rumors of wars, in the year that King Uzziah died, the Lord God speaks, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Start, close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you do not want to take. Isaiah hears the call and he answers. Into extraordinary circumstances steps an ordinary man. Here am I, Isaiah says, taking the first step. Send me. Now, we too have been part of our own more ordinary epiphanies, moments that mark a crossroads, a transition into new life, a different mode of being, a calling. Rarely do they take place in such a grand manner as Isaiah's. Often they are bound up in the circumstances of daily life, small choices with infinite and unknowable ramifications. And to be perfectly honest, my epiphanies are nothing to write home about. Rarely have I witnessed the hem of God's robe or a seraph with a burning coal laying out clear navigating instructions through life's hidden hills and shadowed valleys. More often than not, I only recognize the significance of a decision in hindsight. When I can see the person I am, given what I chose to do back then. When I see the person I could have been, for better or for worse. More often than not, my significant decisions haven't been a clear-cut choice between right and wrong, but rather a matter of competing goods, a mess of pros and cons as I try to make my way forward. This is the way it goes for most when making decisions having to do with what some call vocation. I have met many people for whom work is not the same as vocation too. Rather, work for some is simply a means to an end, a way to support themselves and their families. For a variety of reasons, many of which often have little to do with our individual choices, virtues, or ability, it may be that work is not where you find your calling. But I do feel as though I actually believe that we each have a vocation, a purpose for which we are here, connected like Isaiah to the people that have come before us and to the people that will come after us. And so I wonder if we do our children a disservice by asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? The real question behind vocation is not what, it's who. Who do you want to be when you grow up? Who are you called to be? Who will you be at school or at work and at home? Who will you be for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse? What can always take many shapes, forms, and sizes? What can change given the particular circumstances you encounter at any moment in life? Who, however, who? That sense of self that's at the core, that sense of self that lasts beyond the externalities of degrees and status and paychecks. Who is the real question with which vocation is concerned? And who has the potential to change everything. Now, today we will celebrate a baptism. Baptism itself is a crossroad, an initiation into new life with much less pomp and circumstance than Isaiah's, maybe, but important all the same. And much like Isaiah, we have witnessed plenty of grief and foreboding in the past year. We have not had a baptism in this worship space since November. We have seen family, friends, and neighbors plagued by a global pandemic beyond our control. And we have witnessed a world divided, driven by animosity, filled with distrust, nearly conquered by fear. And into this world, into this grieving, hurting world, a new child will be added to the number of the faithful. And the question this moment poses for us today and always is a matter of vocation. Not what we will do, but of who we will be. A question of who we will be to this child and to the many baptized here, wherever life may lead us. The answer that baptism provides to that question is simple. We are all God's children, marked as Christ's own forever. That is what the baptismal service says. We are not male nor female, not Republicans or Democrats or independents, not blue, red, or whatever other team the world may throw at us. We are one body, one church, who rest in one hope, God's call to each of us. The rest follows from that primordial truth, and it has the potential to change everything. Friends, let us take the first step that dares to love the ground beneath our feet, that step that dares to imagine not just what we will do, but who we will be. Let us love God and the world God has made as if it were our one and true vocation. And let us live in that truth, choosing daily to die to our old self so that we may more closely resemble who God calls us to be. Start close in, my friends. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing close in, that step you do not want to take. Amen.